You're listening to a podcast from 702.
We look at the major political stories you need to pay attention to, and there's no way to ignore the 5 days away, you know, what's going to be happening in 5 days' time. That's, of course, the general elections. And today we want to talk about the IEC's state of readiness. We're joined now by Grant Masterson, who's, of course, the senior manager of governance institutions and political processes at the Electoral Institute for Sustainable Democracy in Africa. Grant, that's a mouthful that... more or less tells us, A, you're an important person who knows what he's talking about when it comes to the running of elections.
Morning, Bugani. Sorry, I just missed that question.
No, I said the mouthful of your title as I read it. If nothing else, it tells us you know what you're talking about when it comes to the running of elections.
Well, if people like you think so, then that's good enough for me.
All right, listen, let's just talk about some of the issues that we need to think about in the build-up to the next 5 days, really. Media reports that some SADC election observers feel concerned, if not even reluctant, to visit certain areas in the country for fear of being attacked by communities. Xenophobic concerns there, that's something to be worried about.
Yeah, and look, I think it's something that we don't take seriously in this country is our image in the continent. SADC is, of course, an organization that draws its observers from our SADC neighbor states. And they will all be seeing the stories of Malawians attacked in KwaZulu-Natal. And they don't necessarily always believe, when I am speaking to people in these countries, that the response that the South African government gives is hard enough on these type of attacks. And they also feel quite let down by South Africans in general, and they constantly ask, do South Africans not remember the role that we played in supporting the struggle? So it's not surprising that they sometimes come to South Africa in the light of these xenophobic attacks with some kind of concern.
To be fair, though, government will say we've been doing this thing for 25 years. It's the sixth time we're having a general election since 1994. No observer mission I can think of has ever been attacked, not for xenophobic reasons anyway.
Certainly. In fact, we've got a very peaceful and secure environment for observers to come to in this country. And I think we do the international observer community proud when they come to visit our country, because there's a lot for them to learn, there's a lot for them to see, and a lot for them to take away when they go back to their countries.
All right, talk to me. I mean, you guys help deploy international observers. What goes into a successful international observer mission?
Well, it's a huge exercise. I mean, you're talking upwards of 40 or 50 people being involved. There's obviously the team on the ground, who people associate with the observation, but then there's a big team of people who are behind the scenes, who are planning all of the logistics, figuring out where to deploy people, looking at the data as it comes in. You know, observer groups these days use technologies and digital systems the same way that everyone else is going in the fourth industrial revolution. So there's a lot of data coming in, a lot of analytics going on. So it's quite a huge operation. And ultimately, all of that data is used to understand what has happened in the election, what seems to have gone well, and what seems to have not done so well. It all culminates in observer mission reports, which highlights the things that the Electoral Commission should look at for future elections and possibly even changes to the legislation.
Do these observer missions work, though, and are they credible, particularly, of course, in terms of how they are perceived by voters in various countries? I mean, we've had a number of results that you could say certainly question marks hang over. I'm talking about the DRC now immediately. Also Zimbabwe, though, in the last year. Are they credible? Because quite often they tell us things went reasonably well, when in fact there are serious questions to be asked about processes. Nigeria is yet another example.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's a fair question. Observer groups always need to ask how well are the processes and methods that they're using to observe the elections accurately capturing what's going on the ground. You know, it's a very, very tricky one. On one hand, observer groups document and record what they see, and they try to be very careful to list things that are only rumors or things that they have been told by third parties. So, you know, with a limited number of people on the ground, it is sometimes a challenge to see everything in an election. At the same time, observer groups provide an independent and very well-researched source of information about various elements of an election. And so in cases like the DRC and Nigeria, we're actually able to have the kind of conversation that critiques observers precisely because there is a lot of information about those electoral processes. And a lot of that information came from the observer missions themselves. But it is a tricky one, and within the observer community, there's always this conversation, are we doing enough? Are we measuring things enough? Are we looking at the right things during elections?
And also, are you looking at the things that matter to the voters in those particular elections? And that may differ from country to country. But the other issue, Grant, is that often, the figures or the public faces of these missions are, leaders who've been part of governments in other countries. And there's always, certainly in the SADC region and within the AU, this kind of buddy-buddy-pal system as far as leadership level is concerned, and that's yet another thing that raises questions around the credibility of these missions.
Yeah, and I think that's unfortunate because I've got to say that in my experience working with former heads of state, these are people who really value their personal reputations quite highly. For them, they take the work very seriously. These are former presidents. They could quite easily go and sit in their mansions back home on their presidential pensions and enjoy life, but they actually still remain very, very committed to the principles that caused them to go into politics in the first place. So by and large, I got to say that these heads of mission are exceptionally committed to the ideals and the causes of observation, and they actually surprise me every time when I meet one of these former heads of state just how much they're invested in these processes. So I think that critique is sometimes unfair.
All right. Well, look forward then to what happens next week. As I say, it's our sixth bite at the cherry when it comes to general elections in South Africa since 1994. The IEC does have a stellar reputation. Let's all hope it goes well next week.